chapter 33. I can remember opening my Bible. I was just a young guy, teenager coming to the Lord. Why do they have a book called Job? What does Job have to do with it? Job 33, verse 28. Let's read together 28 and 29 and 30. All right? He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Praise God. You'll note that there's actually two themes here in this passage. There's the pit, and then there's the light. I'm glad we can trade one for the other. And I have no intention to go back to that pit. None at all. Amen. I thank God for the light. I thank the Lord for what he's provided and the blessing that he's brought. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Now, the pit is, when I noticed this passage, I of course wanted to emphasize the light of the living. But the pit kept coming back to my attention, obviously, because it's mentioned so many times here. But I'm thankful that in the mentioning of the pit, there's also the deliverance. We're delivered from going into the pit. You don't have to go to the pit just to see what it's like. That's foolishness. It's like I don't have to try different things in this world that is offered to me just so I could try it. No, that's foolishness. I know how good God is. I taste and see that the Lord is good. I've done that. And there's no need to try anything else because that would just be a substitute and would fall far short of what the Lord has provided for us, because God's salvation is his plan for all of mankind. He so loved the world that he gave, and thank God he gave himself to provide for us a salvation that is so great. And God's work is, like the scripture says, to bring back his soul from the pit. I'm thankful that the Lord rescues us from that pit. We don't have to go back to it. We don't have to experience it again. We can move into the realm that God has for us and continue the blessing that he has in store. Praise God. David agrees with that truth. In Psalm 40 and verse 2, he said, he brought me up. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord brings us up. I'm thankful that he raises us up. I'm thankful that he lifts us above the problems and the difficulties and the situations that we may find ourselves in this world. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. Put the scripture up, if you would, Brother Aaron, Psalm 40 and verse 2. And notice how the Lord is accomplishing these aspects of his work in our lives. I'm thankful that we are brought out of a pit, out of the miry clay, and we don't have to go back to that mess. We don't have to become mired in the clay again. We don't have to be abandoned in that horrible pit again. We can stay on the rock and be established. When the Lord brings us out, when he sets our feet upon the rock, when he establishes us in his word and how we're to move forward in him, that's not so we can deviate and detour and go another way that the world is beckoning and calling and say, this is what you need to experience. This is where you're going to find pleasure. This is how you're going to have fun. Thank God, I know I can stay out of the pit and not go into that realm again, but to stay on the rock and be established. Because the devil offers a lot of pitfalls. He prepares those for us. And we've got to be aware and avoid. You know, a net and a web are being used to catch a lot of fish right now. Even if you catch the fish on a hook and line, you're probably going to use a net to scoop them up and either put them in the boat or put them on the bank. They're used to capture animals, birds, fish, and we know that they are used to capture. Well, make sure the internet and the World Wide Web are not capturing you to the point where you're wasting a lot of time or you're being ruined by the immoral things that are so prevalent upon that web and corrupting your righteous walk with the Lord. Oh no, that's a pitfall that we've got to avoid. Yeah, all kinds of good things on there. And thank God we're on it right now, preaching the word of the Lord. And your worship is lifting up people and helping others to understand that our God is worth worshiping. Amen. His praise will continually be in my mouth, Brother Perkins, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening. Thank God we can lift him up. Thank God that we can praise his name. Thank God that we can feel his presence and his power and know the goodness of his spirit to bring that goodness in our lives again and again. But sometimes we make the pit. Sometimes we have the problem. You know, pity is good. The Bible talks about pity. It's good when it's put outward. When you extend it to others. When you have empathy and sympathy. And you've got compassion and consideration. But when it becomes inward, it's a pit. A pit E. And we've got to avoid that. Because it's a pit. And the trouble with a pity party is there's usually only one attending. And you got to avoid it. I read a rule of holes. You heard about a rule of holes? When you're in one, stop digging. Get out of that pit. Get into the place where God can bless you again. Like David, encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, he's been so good. So good. God's been so good to me. Hallelujah. And thank God that we can focus on that rather than focusing on the problems and the difficulties. You know, we talk to God a lot about our problems. Sometimes we need to talk to our problems about God and let the problem know, you ain't so big. You ain't so bad. You're not going to get me down. My God's going to raise me up. My God's going to set my feet upon the rock. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to go the way that is going to lead to a pit. No, I'm going to stay with the Lord. Talk to your problems, amen, about how big your God is. Now, a pit is mentioned twice before in this chapter. This chapter of Job 33. Verse 18, he keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. So when I wanted to preach about light of the living, I couldn't help but notice how often the pit is being mentioned here. And then in verse 24, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Okay, let's put Aaron to work here. Brother Aaron, we need you to get those scriptures up. Psalm 33, or Job rather, 33:18. Thank God. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. That's protection. That's divine protection. Thank God that the Lord has provided that means for us, and we can be blessed and strengthened by the Lord and his goodness. You watch the situations where there are officials and former presidents and current presidents and so on, and you know there's Secret Service personnel who are going around glaring at everybody. And they may have their sunglasses on so you can't see where their eyes are looking. But they don't smile. They don't greet folks. They don't do anything to show any kind of camaraderie or any kind of greeting. They're serious. They've got their goal in mind. They understand they've got to protect this official. Oh, thank God. If we were able to see the angelic host that surrounds us every time, the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about those that fear him, I know we would step forward with confidence. I know that we would not be fearful, that we would recognize, I've got protection. I've got one who's keeping me from the pit. I've got one who's keeping me from perishing by the sword. I can move into the realm of goodness and power and strength and blessing and know the freedom that the Lord has given me, that I don't need to be weighed down by fear. I don't need to step into the realm and being afraid of shadows. Thank God I can move in to the light that he's provided and the strength that is there. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, verse 24 in that same chapter. He is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Praise God. That's God's work. That's what God delights in doing. That's what the Lord wants to provide for every one of us. Keep your soul back from the pit. Keep you from perishing. Deliver you from the pit, because the ransom has already been paid. It's already taken care of. You are bought with a price. And the Lord paid that price and moved us into the realm of his goodness and blessing. Amen. David had mighty men. Those mighty men rallied around him. They declared, we are yours, David. And he made them rulers of bands and so on. Benaiah is one of them. Benaiah had some tremendous victories. He killed an Egyptian who was very tall, 7.5 feet tall, who was a warrior. He went against that warrior from Egypt. He plucked his spear out of his own hands, and he used that spear to kill that warrior. Then there were two champions of Moab who were lion-like. I don't know if it's because of their hair and their beards, or maybe they carried a cape of a lion that they had killed to show how brave they were. I don't know what made them lion-like, but it didn't scare Benaiah. He took care of both of them. Both of those champions he took care of. And then something that we can relate to, at least 6 months from now, on a snowy day, he tracked a lion, and everywhere that lion went, Benaiah was on his trail. And the lion went down into a pit, and Benaiah may have stood there and considered, if I go down to that pit, it's going to be slippery. I'm not going to have solid footing. I know the lion went down in there. I don't see any tracks coming out, so he's got to be down in there. I don't know if he considered it like that. I don't know if he weighed it out. I don't know if he decided, I think I'm going to take a chance. Probably he just stepped right over the edge and followed that lion down into the pit. But the Bible lets us know he took care of that lion. Two sets of tracks going into that pit, one set of tracks coming out. My God's got victory for you. My God's got a way to bring you forth into power and glory. My God knows that you will fight battles, that there will be those that are opposed to you. There will be those that will come after you. But thank God we can stand strong and know the power of God's going to be there. And if the battle is going to be in the pit, so be it. I'm going to come out of there in victory. I'm going to come out of there in triumph. I'm going to come out of there knowing I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the goodness of his power and his blessing. Amen. Ah, I'm sure Benaiah had trophies to remind him of those triumphs. And then he became a captain of David's bodyguard. Oh, thank God that we can move into the realm of continuous victory that the Lord has provided. The only way you're going to have a victory is with a battle. Don't step away from the battle. Don't shy away from the battle. Move into the realm that God has for you. A little bit more about the pits here before we move to the light. Joseph was in a pit. And probably what wounded him, what hurt him, what damaged him severely was he was placed there by his own brothers. It wasn't robbers, it wasn't thieves was in another army, his brothers. Then they brought him out of the pit, not for deliverance, but to be sold as a slave. And he went down to Egypt. From the pit to Potiphar's house, to the prison, and then to Pharaoh's palace over a 13-year period. You know, we read the scripture sometimes, and it seems like it's just a matter of weeks or just a few months or maybe at the most a year. But 13 years, Joseph persevered. Joseph held on. Joseph continued to be identified as a Hebrew. And then when his brothers came and bowed down, just like the dream said it was going to happen, he could understand them speaking Hebrew, even after almost 20 years now that he's been away. You know how I think he held on to that language? He prayed to his God in Hebrew. He called upon the Lord in Hebrew. He knew there was just one. Even though he was immersed in the culture of the Egyptians who worshiped the Nile, they worshiped the moon, they worshiped cats, they worshiped everything. But he worshiped one God, and he called upon his name in Hebrew. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. We're not going to lose our language of calling upon our God and speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God prays through us. Amen. The Spirit maketh intercession. Ah, with words that can't be uttered, groanings that can't be uttered, praise God. But you're feeling something for your family, go ahead and pray in the Spirit. You're feeling something for your neighbor or your co-worker or somebody in school, go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Thank God that we can hold on to what God has blessed us with. We can be established in our going. We can stay on the rock, and we've removed from the pit, hallelujah, and know the power and the blessing of God. But there's one pit I like to remember. There's one pit that I can rejoice about. There's one pit that I like to read about again. The dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan. It's interesting that Revelation 20 and 2 names all of those names for the devil. The dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan. No matter his name, no matter how he boasts of his power, no matter how he tries to deceive, thank God he's going to be bound in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. One angel, the scripture says, one angel with a key and a chain to that bottomless pit is going to grab him, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan, and throw him into that pit and shut him up. I love that. Praise God. Shut him up. Tired of his deceit. Tired of his lies, tired of casting doubt, tired of trying to pull me down into the pit again. Thank God he's going to be in that pit for 1,000 years, and there's not going to be any devil. 1,000 years of peace, because the Lord is going to reign upon the earth for those 1,000 years in the millennial reign. That's a pit we can rejoice about. That's a pit we can read about and put a smile on our face. That's the pit that we can remind the devil when he comes to drag you into your past and all your mistakes and your failures. Thank God I can go to Revelation 20 and read it right out loud to him. This is where you're going, Satan. This is where you're going, devil. This is where you're going to be for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the blessings that we know in his Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, Elihu is who spoke the text. He had held his tongue while the elders spoke, and he was silent. But Job's comforters finally stopped speaking, and Elihu speaks up. Some good doctrine is mentioned by Elihu in his speech. He speaks of the good attributes of God, his greatness, his justice, how mighty he is, his righteousness, his strength, his wisdom, his wondrous works. I like the way Elihu is holding on to how God is good and great. He even said, God giveth songs in the night. Have you found that to be true? Has God given you a song in your night? Has God come into your place when the devil is assailing you with doubt and deceit? And all of a sudden, there's a song. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. When storms are raging, hallelujah. And thank God those things happen. But my God rescues me. My God lifts me up. My God gives me songs in the night. And Elihu emphasized light. He said, you're going to see the light. You're going to be enlightened. And you can have the light of the living. You can know the power and the goodness of the Lord. Job even spoke of the light as well. Job 29 and verse 3. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, there was darkness in Job's life. It went on and on and on. But Job would recognize there's still the candle of the Lord there that I can rely upon. His light is guiding me through the darkness. His light has not forsaken me. His light has not gone out. It's there in the darkness, and I can walk through it. Praise God. Job worshiped the Lord. Job trusted the Lord enough to bring him through the test. And even in the darkness, there's still light. And Job could see by faith. This is what God's bringing to me. This is how God's providing for me. Amen. Most of Job's references to light are a longing for the days of God's blessing that he enjoyed at one time. Tremendous blessings. He's longing to go back to those times. He's longing to escape the dark days that he is up against. And God brought Job into the light again. Job declared, I have heard of thee, but now mine eye seeth thee. Oh, thank God that we can know by experience how good God is. We can hear about it. We can hear testimonies. We can know God is true. But when I go through that test and I come out on the other end and know my God has been faithful, hallelujah, thank God that I can exalt him and lift him up, and I can assure my brother and my sister, I can testify to others, I know it's tough, but God is tougher. God will bring you through. God will provide for you. God will minister to you. God will be your blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. The Psalms mention light. If we were to try to cover every one of them, we would be here too long. Too many to list of the Psalms that talk about the light of God. Let me just mention a few here. Psalm 112 and verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Now, if the verse were to end right there, if that would be it, there would be a tremendous blessing that we can receive. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. But look how it goes on. He is gracious. He is full of compassion and righteous. Praise God. The Lord lifts us up. The Lord blesses us. The Lord gives us light. Psalm 139 and verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. And sometimes we feel that. Sometimes we're struggling. Sometimes we're stumbling. Surely the darkness shall cover me. But even the night shall be light about me. Praise God, because he provides for it. He ministers for us. Thank God that he does not forsake us. In that same chapter, verse 12, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What is that saying? It's saying, doesn't make any difference to my God. Doesn't make any difference to what the conditions are, what the circumstances are, what the illumination is. Doesn't matter to my God. He can step forward and do the work that you need. It does not hinder him. Thank God, I don't need to turn on the natural light to defeat the devil. When I was younger, I was afraid of the dark. I'm sure you could testify the same thing. Yeah, we had to have the lights on. I don't need to have the lights on to know that my God has defeated my enemy. I thank God that I can be covered by his blood. Hallelujah. And even when I'm lying in my bed at night and it is dark, I know my God is working. I know my God is not hindered. I know he knows where I am and what I'm going through. True, praise God. And he brings forth his power. Psalm 56 and verse 13, thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? Oh, yes, he will. Praise God. He's not going to let you falter and fail. No, he didn't die on the cross so that you could just end up collapsing and not being able to make it. No, there's power that he's provided. He delivered our soul from death, and he can deliver our feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. There it is again. Praise God. And maybe the psalmist remembered from Job that was what was written. I can walk before God in the light of the living. Hallelujah. Deliverance from death. Deliverance from falling. Moving into the realm of the blessing of the Lord and the strength that is there. Walking before God. Having the testimony like Enoch. We please God. Amen. And then having the experience of Enoch. He was not, for God took him. Oh, one of these days that trumpet's going to sound, friend. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can comfort one another with these words and know it's not going to continue on. It's not going to keep getting worse. God's going to make it get better. And we're going to move into the realm where the blessing of the Lord is strong and powerful. Light transforms. Light gives life. We got all this plant life around us here. So beautiful, so green, so nice. Plants need light and water as well as other elements to survive. They're very sensitive to light. Well, you got to turn that potted plant so that it will burn, turn towards the window, towards the light. I marvel at the scent and the taste and the color that seeds can produce from the very same soil. The very same soil. And all these different fragrances, these different colors, and these different tastes come out of it. Amazing. I marvel at it. But the scripture says, don't marvel at this. Don't marvel. 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Huh. I've got to make sure I know truth. I've got to make sure I'm anchored in the Word of God. I've got to make sure I pay attention to what the preacher's saying. Amen. What I see in my devotions, what are underlying in that eternal word, praise God. I got to hold on to it. I got to make sure I'm not being fooled by an angel of light who is actually Satan, who's transformed himself. That passage of scripture gives a warning about false apostles and deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ and ministers of righteousness. It happens in our day. It happens right now. But the Lord declared, by their fruit shall ye know them. Thank God. I'm thankful that we can hold on to what the Lord declares and know there's blessing and goodness that we can receive and be lifted up and strengthened in his word. Not being deceived, but moving on into truth, greater truth, more truth, powerful truth that is going to deliver and set us free. John chapter 3. Contains some amazing truths. The new birth, born of water and of spirit. Thank God we can know the reality of how we can be born again. I'm thankful we serve a God of second chance. Amen. Actually, it goes on beyond that. Third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. Thank God he continues to bless us. He continues to forgive us. But oh my, the power of being born again. Thank God the waters of baptism are where our sins are washed away. And we are in the place where those sins do not follow us anymore, but they are remitted. They are gone. Hallelujah. And then we're born of the Spirit of God coming within. We speak in a language we do not know, a supernatural sign of God saying, I will dwell in you. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for that power. And then John 3:16, how familiar it is, how widespread it is, the gospel in a nutshell, some would say. I'm thankful that God so loved. Amen. So loved And then he would give, he would sacrifice. And every one of us can believe, every one of us can receive, every one of us can know the promise of eternal life and have that abundant life at work within us right now. Amen. And anticipating there's going to be a place that we step into the realm of the forever where our God is. John's focus in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. The problem with the world today is they've got that backwards. They're making the Lord decrease and they themselves are increasing. Their desires, their wants, their thoughts, their philosophies, their ideas, their thinking. No, I've got to go back to what John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. But John 3 contains a statement that I struggle with. And maybe I shouldn't because of what I know to be at loose in this world today. But I look at it and I wonder, how can men love darkness rather than light? I remember that darkness. I remember those times of fear. I remember coming home from a party and opening my Bible and reading about hell, and it scared me. And I didn't want to be a part of that. I didn't want to end up in that place. Thank God the Lord was patient with me to convict me again and again until finally when I was 15, I decided I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to reach out for Him, praise God, and know that blessing. But how can men love darkness rather than light? Now we know in the end times, love is going to be misdirected. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that men are going to love themselves. Men are going to love money. Men are going to love pleasure. It's going to be misdirected. But loving darkness doesn't add up. At least in my mind. I'm thankful in John chapter 1, light came by Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. Darkness couldn't comprehend it. Darkness couldn't extinguish it. Darkness couldn't put it out, because Jesus is the true light. And thank God that's who we look to. That's who we call upon. That's who we come to. Because coming to the light is how we are able to experience truth. Amen. Doing evil stops a person from coming to the light, because their evil deeds will be reproved. Their evil deeds will be exposed. But doing truth, how do you do truth? It's more than just knowing it. It's more than just talking about it. It's more than just discussing it back and forth. Doing truth means coming to the light, and it makes our deeds manifest or clear that they are wrought or worked in God, doing what God wants. Thank God the Lord declared, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank God that we don't have to wander carrying a burden. We don't have to wander in shackles and chains. Thank God he delivered us. We don't have to roll back down into that pit, but we can move into the realm of freedom and blessing and know his power and his strength. Let there be light. How powerful that four-word phrase was from the beginning. And how powerful it continues to be as he commands that light to shine out of darkness. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, you've received mercy. You didn't have mercy. You became the people of God. You were not the people of God. He said you basically have a new identity now. You're chosen. You're royal. You're holy. You're special. You were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So praise him. Hallelujah. Thank God we can exalt him. Thank God we can lift him up. I didn't deserve any of it, but God looked at my life and he said, I'm calling you out of darkness into my marvelous light. I'm giving you my mercy. I'm making you one of my people. And now you are chosen. You are royal. You are holy. You are special. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can walk in that realm of knowing his goodness and his life and be blessed again and again. Praise God. Because the light shined in the darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, the light of the glorious gospel can shine in our lives. And the same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness is still shining in us, just as at the beginning. He shines in our hearts. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we can know that power and that blessing again and again. Every time we look at Jesus, hallelujah, we see the face of grace. Every time we look at Jesus, we know He is God Almighty. Every time we look at Jesus, we're seeing the Lord God Almighty, who spoke all things into existence and is able to demonstrate His power in our midst, and we can walk in that light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful that John wrote, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. John kind of liked those phrases about God is. He wrote, God is love. He wrote, God is come. He wrote, God is greater. And I'm thankful we know God is light. No darkness. I don't have to choose darkness. I don't have to walk in darkness. I can choose light. I can choose truth. And I fellowship with those of like precious faith. Oh, thank God for my brothers and sisters. Thank God for those who have been born again, baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, filled with His wonderful Spirit, knowing that we're going to be victorious. Praise God, because the blood cleanses us from all sin. Nothing left uncleansed to hold us back. Nothing that needs to drag us back down to the pit. Nothing that needs to hold us from stepping into the promises of God and knowing that power and goodness. Nothing that could keep us from walking in the light and living in that truth, doing the truth, praise God, and knowing the power and the blessing that God has given us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a God. Oh, what a Father. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can know His power and His blessing. No unrighteousness left uncleansed, but He moves us into the realm where we can experience His power and His blessing, and the eternal realm of heaven will be one of light. The scripture says, no sun, no moon, because the glory of God lights it. There shall be no night there. Hallelujah. The Lamb is the light. Oh, I'm thankful I know Jesus is the light of the world, and He will be the light of eternity. Keep walking in that light. Keep following that light. Keep staying within the boundaries of that light. Praise God. Don't try to get out into the shade and so on. No, I don't want the shadow of death. I don't want thee in that place. No, I want goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. I want Him to prepare that table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. I want my cup to be overflowing. I want Him to anoint with oil. Hallelujah. I want Him to lead me beside the still waters and into that green pasture. I don't want to be a stubborn old goat and try to go my own way. No, I want to follow the Lord. I want to know His goodness. I want to know His power. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's it. Hallelujah. I move into the realm where His glory and His blessing is there, and His light continues to lead me. Stand with me, please. Oh my. If we were to list all the songs that we sing about light, there'd be quite a few, Brother Farmer. Amen. And rightly so. That's something to sing about. That's something to rejoice in. That's something to hold as precious. That's something to recognize. It's never going to go out. It's never going to be extinguished. It's never going to falter and fail. No, I can keep walking in the light. Amen. And know the light of the living is what God has in store for me. Hallelujah. Amen. And oh my, the fulfillment of His word. You know, If Acts 2:38 was just a saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If that's all it was words, we could nod our heads and say, that's nice. Interesting. No, but when we do repent, we feel that forgiveness. We feel that cleansing. I got up from the altar in that little church in Hoonah, and there was a puddle of tears there where I had cried and asked God to forgive me. Ask God to change me. Ask God to help me. I didn't want to keep going in the way I was going. Oh no, it was empty. It was dark. I didn't want to continue in that place. And when I got up from there, I felt so light. I felt so clean. And a little while later, I went down in that cold water. Oh, my Lord, it was cold. But I went down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And I came up out of there again feeling so clean, feeling so light. Praise God. And God fulfilled His promise when He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I heard myself speaking in a language I didn't understand. And I believed God's filling me with the Holy Ghost. And the tears began to flow. The praise went up. I didn't care who heard me. I didn't care who saw me. I didn't care who thought what. I loved my God because He was fulfilling His word. He was bringing it to pass in my life. Hallelujah. And there was light that I could walk in from that time forward. And it has not failed me. It has not gone out. It has not led me into a pit. It has not brought me down. It has raised me up. Hallelujah. And I know the victory and the power and the blessing that God has in store for me. Turn around and go another way. No way. Not at all. I'm going to hold on. Hold on to what He has for me. Praise God. And I hope there's something rising up within you today as well. You're determined as well. I'm not going to step off of that rock. I'm not going back to that miry clay. I'm not going to fall into that horrible pit. The Lord has established my goings, and I'm going to stay with the Word. I'm going to stay full of the Spirit. I'm going to continue being obedient to truth. I'm going to follow on in His Word. That's your determination today. Why don't you come to an altar of prayer here right now? Why don't you step out from where you are? Let's come and stand together. Kneel, sit, whatever you want to do. Amen. But let's spend time in the presence of God. Let's spend time in the presence of God. Oh, yes. Let's reach out to Him with a heart of thanksgiving. Let's give Him our consecration, our commitment again. Let's determine we're going to follow Him and walk with Him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Lengo cosendo